Great to have you with us here on WPR News. We turn our attention now to the Cedarburg Bog. You're going to find, man, a beautiful stream, an array of plants. I think there are, I don't know how many species, 19 species, I believe, of breeding birds, a boardwalk to help you explore it. And Paul Engevold is joining us now to sort of be our guide to the unique and wonderful Cedarburg Bog. The bog is managed by the Saukville Field Station, and I certainly want to get into what's going on at the field station as well. Of course, the field station of UW-Milwaukee, which has a really unique thing going there. Paul's the senior manager of the field station itself. And as we talk with Paul, I want to hear from you. Have you visited the Cedarburg Bog? Tell us what you saw. Give us a call, the number 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Paul, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate the opportunity to share the special place that is the Cedarburg Bog with your audience.
Oh, man, that it's one of the wonderful natural areas. And I had a chance to look at a video of it, and it's astounding. First, where is it located, and explain what people would see when they visited.
So the Cedarburg Bog is located west of Saukville, sort of east of Newburgh, south of Highway 33. And it's roughly, 2,200 acres of 12 different unique wetland plant communities that range from marshes to sedge meadows to a cedar tamarack forest to a black spruce forest, hardwood swamps, and it contains almost all of the major wetland plant communities that do occur in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's just an amazing, amazing thing. When people talk about bogs, they sometimes mention the pH level or how acidic or basic the bog is. Why does that matter?
Well, pH drives which plant communities can exist. It drives nutrient uptake. A true bog actually is rainwater dependent. It tends to have a very acidic pH due to a lot of the vegetation breakdown and the humic acids that go into the water. The Cedarburg Bog is a bit of a misnomer. It's actually a fed. So we have a lot of groundwater input from the northern edge of the bog, and that groundwater goes through calcareous rock, and so our pH is actually more neutral. A true bog.
So that makes it kind of unique, I guess.
It's extremely unique, yes.
Let's talk a bit more about the plant and animal species that live in the bog. I mean, you sort of mentioned some numbers there, but what are some of the species we're going to find?
So the bog is home to 360 different vascular plant species. 10% of these are at the southern edge of their range, which means you won't find them anywhere farther south than the Cedarburg Bog. About 9 of these species are known not to occur any farther south than us. We have 19 different species of orchids, including the white-fringed orchid, which is endangered in Wisconsin. We have 9 different species of carnivorous plants, so 3 sundews, 1 northern pitcher plant, 5 species of bladderworts, which are very cool. They have these little, they're aquatic plants that have little bladders that open up, attract zooplankton, annelids, little nematodes, close up, and then get their nutrition from them. Besides the plants, we also have over 300 species of birds recorded as either breeding or migrating through the Cedarburg Bog. We host the southernmost population of red-backed voles, which is common in northern Wisconsin, but not so common here. And we have the federally endangered Heinz emerald dragonfly that can be seen. We have a decent population of the federally endangered rusty patch bumblebees. So we have a variety of interesting plants and animals on the property.
Go ahead.
Some of your bird folks may be interested that some of the birds you can't find anywhere else down here are like the brown creeper, winter wren, Canadian warbler, white-throated sparrow. And because of all of our unique bird species, the bog has been put on the important bird area by the U.S. Audubon Society initiative.
That is very cool. Animals, you're going to see deer and other animals you may see in the bog?
We have deer galore, unfortunately. We do have a small population of otters that can someday be seen out on the stream in the center of the bog. And more recently, we've even had confirmed sightings of bobcats in the Cedar Brook Bog.
Very cool. And if you want to visit the bog, are there hiking trails so you can see it up close?
So there are two public access points to the bog. One is at the Watts Lake parking lot, which is on 33. And there is a wheelchair accessible hiking trail that was put in by the Friends of Cedar Brook Bog in roughly 2009. And then on the southern edge of the bog off Cedar Sock Road, the Friends built a boardwalk in 2016 that allows access to the southern point of Mud Lake. They put in a boardwalk across the wet areas. They put in essentially what could be a fishing pier and a boat launch.
So basically you can go and visit the bog and you don't have to worry about wearing boots.
Most times of the year. We had that lovely rainstorm at the beginning of last April. We'll say a large part of the boardwalk was underwater.
Oh, okay. Well, you need to think about that when you go to take a visit. How many, do you get many visitors to the bog?
We don't fully track visitors to the public section of the bog. UWM owns roughly 320 acres of property here. And we own the only boardwalk that goes out into the center of Cedar Brook Bog. Last year, we had 1,800 visitors, ranging from students to faculty, public outreach programs, and hikers.
I was thinking about that. The 300, I grew up on a 320-acre farm. That's a lot of land. And so that's pretty cool. And here you are, your senior manager of the Sockville Field Station, and of course associated with UW Milwaukee directly. And it's kind of cool that for UW Milwaukee, I mean, this is kind of what you might call an inner city school in a lot of ways, but you're pretty close to the area.
Yeah, we're only 30 miles away from the university, so we do get quite a bit of instruction that goes on out here. We have geography students under Allison Donnelly's class come out and look at the formation and phenology of plants and animals. We have Gerlinda Hobel's reptile and amphibian class that comes out and looks at our salamanders and frogs and some of our snakes. We have Charlie Paradis, who is a geoscientist, and he comes out and studies the groundwater flow through the bog.
Yeah.
And so we have a variety of opportunities for students at UWM.
Yeah, for sure. Diane in Darlington, we'll give you a chance to comment. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I don't know if this is the same bog, but about 50 years ago in high school, I had an awesome biology teacher who was a birder, and every summer I took summer school, and he took our class up to the bog, and we studied all the bog plants, like miniature plants and the sundews, and before we went, and then once we went up there, he said you could do a full bog experience if you want, and I actually swam in it and swam from hummock to hummock. It was amazing, and so you guys brought those memories back to me, so thanks.
Oh, Diane, thanks very much for calling. Paul, a comment?
I'm trying to envision swimming in the bog now, and I'm not so sure that, well, if you put them in July, the deer flies would have feasted upon you.
Well, it would have been during high school, so I'm guessing it would probably been maybe earlier spring, early summer, late spring, probably when that occurred. What's the difference? And here's an email. What's the difference between a bog and then, let's say, a swamp and a wetland?
So bogs are purely rainwater dependent. So the only there's no groundwater input to a bog. Versus swamps tend to have more flowing water. It moves very, very slowly through it. And wetlands are places that have multiple sources of water input.
Talking today with Paul Engebold, who is the senior manager of greenhouse and field stations at UW-Milwaukee, and we're zeroing in today on the Cedarburg Bog. And then also, we haven't gotten into it yet, but we'll talk some more about the work that is done at the field station at UW-Milwaukee and the greenhouse as well. With him. You can join in. Maybe you visited, maybe you have a comment or a question. I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Thanks for joining in today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Paul Engebold, who is the senior manager of greenhouse and field stations at UW-Milwaukee. And we're talking about the field station, but also the Cedarburg Bog and a fantastic place and certainly worth your time and effort to visit. You can join in with your own questions or comments. The number is 800-642-1234 or email to talk@wpr.org. Jeff in Madison has maybe a question. Let's go there. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Larry. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Very interested in the blog, and maybe you covered this and I missed it. How does one act? Does the public have access to the blog or not?
Yeah.
So there are two public access points that are open whenever you'd like to visit them. One is on the north side of the bog at the Watts Lake parking lot off Highway 33. And that is actually an interesting piece of property because it was donated by the Watts family. People from Milwaukee may be familiar with George Watts. And it was his parents, Howard and Lorraine, that donated that parcel up there in which the DNR built the parking lot. The other section that is public accessible is south of Mud Lake. There's a small parking area off of Cedar Sauk Road, and you can take the boardwalk up to see Mud Lake. In the other way to get out into the center of the bog and visit the field station, the easiest way is to attend one of the Friends of the Cedarburg Bog's public outreach event. We partner with them to offer roughly 26 different events a year that talk about bats, ferns, turtles, algae. We cover a little bit of everything. And you can go to the Friends of Cedarburg Bog webpage and see all of those events that are coming up.
So Cedarburg Bog, and if you go to the website, and I think if you type that in, the website's going to pop up on you for you as well. Jeff, thanks for calling. Elizabeth in Poinette, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello. I was wondering about how long one should plan to be there to have a good experience at the bog. And I guess also, do you have a kind of favorite, personal favorite time of year to observe things?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends what you want to do. Most of the Friends events and the public outreach events that the field station holds last between 2 and 3 hours. And a lot of them include some hiking, which is why people come out here, is to get out and see the bog or our beechwood maple forest that is also part of the station. My favorite time of the year happens to be spring. You know, we're especially after this lovely snowstorm that we have, and I'm looking forward to seeing green shoots, red shoots, animals popping out, and signs of life again after this cold, long winter that we've had. Plus, the spring is devoid of mosquitoes and deer flesh, so that's always a plus.
Elizabeth, that help out?
In a few weeks. It sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And of course, those events, Paul, they're up on your site, right?
Yes, both our site as well as the Friends of Heterburg Bog site.
You're going to find the appropriate day. But that might be a cool way to start. Go there, go to one of those events, and then you sort of get your bearings. And if you want to come back, then you can come back on your own. And after you sort of got that base information there, the history, how did you get involved in the field station, by the way?
So it's really happenstance. So I fell into this position, which I'm internally grateful to the university for letting me do this, but I started at UWM in 1993 as an undergraduate, and I enjoyed myself, switched majors a few times like many people have done. I took a bio-sci class and got wet and muddy and decided that was what I wanted to do and spend my life playing in the mud and looking at critters. I went to graduate school there. At one point, I took a backpacking class in 1996, and we came out to the field station. So that was my first exposure to this the Cedarburg Bog. And I think the next summer I came back, I did a orchid survey, trampling through the bog and the vegetation with previous director Jim Reinhardt. That was an eye-opening experience. It kind of reminded me of what Wisconsin would have been like before it was colonized. Just the amount of insects and vegetation was interesting. From there, I ended up going from grad school to running the greenhouse on top of UWM when they built a new facility in 2013. And I ran that for a decade. And then I still run that, actually. And then in 2023, the previous field station director, Gretchen Meyer, retired. I stepped in as the interim director for a short period of time. And I haven't left. In July of 2025, they hired me full time to run the greenhouse and the field station.
Oh man! And so, what does that kind of entail in terms of that? Is it like, I'm sure there's a research component and oversight of many types.
So my job is to, besides the administrative stuff and keep the lights open, the trails running, the grass mowed, or ensuring that they are done. It's also organizing programming for the station, organizing classes that come visit, working with the Friends of Cedarburg Bog on their public outreach programming. And we also do quite a bit of maintenance in terms of maintaining the boardwalk and trying to keep invasive species at bay.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about invasive species. Is that I wondered if that would be a problem in a setting like that, a bog setting like that.
So the center of the bog, we primarily have glossy buckthorn. Those seeds are bird dispersed, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So they're hard to keep out. Other species that we battle are like wild parsnip, teasel, and wild chervil that are on the fringes, the perimeter, sort of the roadway access around the bog. The Friends of Cedarburg Bog have a bog guardian program that actually patrols that during the summer several times and eliminate those species to keep them away. In the highland areas of the bog, we do have some oriental bittersweet, which is a particularly invasive vine that girdles and wraps trees, climbs them, and helps them get toppled over in windstorms like last Friday. We have Japanese barberry that we're seeing come in, but we have quite a few partners that help us with this battle with the invasive species. We have the Electric Quinine Institute, which comes out and helps keep garlic mustard and the Japanese barberry at bay. We have the Wisconsin DNR State Natural Area crew comes out and helps with the glossy buckthorn. And then the Friends of Cedarburg Bog are actually the primary driver of buckthorn control in the bog. They've partnered with the Southeastern Wisconsin Invasive Species Consortium on a multi-year project to get rid of the mature buckthorn in over 200 acres. And they're using a grant from both the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation and the Stewardship Friends Grant from the Wisconsin DNR to help in this endeavor.
So you mentioned, of course, that the field station's on 320 acres of land, and somebody else is wondering, how did you come to own the land?
So the field station was, so We go back to the history of the bog, actually, and that starts with, it was mostly duck hunters prior to 1946. And a variety of duck hunters bought parcels, this parcel, that parcel, created sort of hunting camps. And then in the late 1940s, the Wisconsin Conservation Department, which was the predecessor of the current DNR, recognized both the biological and historical significance of the Cedarbrook Bog. And this is really in the state of Wisconsin when the era of public ownership really started picking off. So in 1946, the Wisconsin Conservation Department authorized the purchase of 519 acres of the bog, and they paid $12.22 per acre back then. So I did a little math, and it's still a steal at this day when it would be roughly, that translates to $205 an acre. Try to find me some land for $205 an acre these days. About that time then, Aldo Leopold became the Conservation Department's commissioner. And he, along with the state parks director at the time, began the state natural area program, recognizing that they need to preserve the best remaining examples of pre-settlement Wisconsin. You know, the rarest plants, the rarest animals, unique landscape and geological, and even archaeological sites. So he started Paul Frey's Glen near Baraboo as the number one state natural area in Wisconsin. Cedarbrook Bog then was designated number two as the state natural area, and this was in 1952. In 1964 then, the Nature Conservancy began a public funding drive, and they actually bought up several parcels of land and then donated it to the University of Wisconsin in a permanent conservation easement. Then in 1972, the field station was really built to take ownership of and manage the property.
It's an amazing story. And tell us about some of the work, the research that's going on there at the bog. And certainly UW-Milwaukee is using it to great advantage.
We are. Since 1970, the UWM is in the research and the partnership with the field station has produced over 415 scientific publications and 152 PhD and master's theses, utilizing the research that's taken place out here. Currently, we have some very cool work going on. We have Dr. Erica Young in BioSci. She is a plant ecophysiologist, and she's looking at the pitcher plant communities and how they're formed. So when pitcher plants first open up, they are sterile inside, and they're quickly colonized by bacteria and fungi and protists, and those communities are changing through time. And she's currently has an NSF grant to look at those communities and how they're formed and how they change. We also have Dr. Ching-Hyung Yang in BioSci, and he's looking at isolation and identification of microbes in the soil and how they could be used to combat antibiotic resistance in other plants. We go from there to Gwenda Hobel's lab, and she looks at the behavioral ecology of amphibians. She has a couple of students that are coming out this summer that are going to look at tree frogs and their communications, the impact of chytrid diseases on their behaviors. Let's see, what else do we have going on right now?
Oh, we got
a little bunch of things going on.
Lots of things going on, and it's really cool because I think for the UW-Milwaukee, too, the fact that you've got... You wouldn't be able to have some of the majors you have. I'm thinking now here as a professor or former professor at UW-Madison, it'd be tough to have those majors without the hands-on accessibility that you have.
Well, it certainly would make field work much, much more difficult and much more expensive having to travel more than 30 minutes from campus. So
yeah,
we're very unique in that aspect.
I think very, very unique. And again, the public events that people want to learn more about what's going on in terms of public events, how do we do that again?
You can go to our website, which is uwm.edu/fieldstation, and we have an events page there that lists all of our events as long as our public outreach collaborations with the Friends of Cedarbrook Bog.
And so, and the other option, of course, the Friends of Cedarbrook Bog, go to that website and they're going to find out a whole lot more as well. Boy, Paul, it's you got a cool job there, and the and a really neat place with the Cedarburg Bog and the field station. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate the chance to highlight our station and the Cedarburg Bog.
Paul Engevold is the senior manager of greenhouse and field stations at UW-Milwaukee. It's great to have him with us today. And great to have you listening in today. We covered lots of interesting and kind of fun things on the show, as we always hope we do every day. And how do we get those? Well, we have a great team here. Clara Kniper, Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn, Jeff Robbins. Our executive producer is Joe Nadeau, and I get to benefit from all of their work. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you so much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.